Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about forgiveness. And what we started by pointing out is that really every single person here online and everyone around the world at some point in time has been hurt by someone else. Something that they did, something that they said, something that they didn't do, or hurt by some sort of institution or organization and has held on to something, has had to go through the process of figuring out what is forgiveness. How does forgiveness work? But it's an interesting thing. As we've worked through the process of us forgiving others, we have to apply the same logic to ourselves. If all of us have been hurt by someone, chances are that all of us have been party to hurting someone else. That some of us, or all of us, have angered somebody, have upset them, have said something that offended someone else. And so the question comes up, like, what do we do? What do we do when we're the one offending someone else? I remember before I started going out with my wife, Embry, when I was in high school, before her, I had another girlfriend, and it was an interesting relationship. And I remember this one time I heard through the grapevine that she was very mad at me. And I'm just saying hi, and there was a change. She wasn't very happy with me. She got this grumpy look on her face, and so I remember I went home and I took the kitchen phone. Yes, that's right. You know, I'm in my 30s, and so kids, back then, what you'll see is we didn't all have these things in our pockets, these personal devices that we could just go and do whatever we wanted. We had this thing that had a cord attached to it, to the wall, and that's what we used. And so I remember sitting down at the kitchen table and dialing her number and being like, okay, I think something is going on, but I don't know. Can you tell me what is going on? And I remember her response was something to the effect of, you should know. I'm telling you guys. Girlfriend says that, get out. Anyways, and I was like, I don't know. Like, what are you talking about? I know that you're mad, but I don't know why. Well, you should know why I'm upset. I said, but I don't. Can you tell me? Well, if I have to tell you, then there's a real problem. So we went back and forth like this for a while. You know, you obviously don't care because, you know, you don't know what's going on and I can't believe you and all this. Well, it ended up, I finally got her to tell me what had happened. And what had happened is she'd worn a new outfit to something the last time that I'd seen her, and I didn't comment about the outfit. Oh, feels good to get this off of my chest, you know? It's been sitting there for just over 10 years, you know? It's just good to tell somebody about this, I'll say. No, but seriously, it's not great to have someone angry at you, is it? It's not a nice feeling. Now, sometimes we deserve it. I don't think I did in that situation, but sometimes we deserve it. And I've done things where I deserved somebody being like, that wasn't right, and you hurt me. You know, sometimes we're completely clueless as to why someone else is angry. And sometimes, you know, we don't even know that the other person is angry. We just know that we haven't seen them around for a little while, or that they're not smiling at us as much as they used to. But what we do know is that when there is hurt in someone's life, when they feel like we've hurt them or we've done something to wrong someone else, it changes the relationship. It changes the makeup. It changes how we connect with others, especially if we care about the other person. It adds stress to our lives. It adds stress to their life and our ability to connect to one another, to other people, and to relate with God. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's great, but that's their problem. You know, Pastor Stephen, we just finished 3 weeks talking about how someone hurts me. These are the reasons why it's important to forgive them, how I forgive them. And so shouldn't that apply to them? If they're hurt, shouldn't they just forgive me? Not a big deal, right? I want to share with you something that Jesus is recorded as saying in the book of Matthew in the Bible. He says, "You have heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. And if you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment." And right now, all of you are thinking, see, it's them. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, and then come and offer your sacrifice to God. He kind of flips things around. He's like, listen, don't murder, but if you even are angry at someone and holding that in your heart, it's the same heart attitude as murder. Oh, and by the way, if somebody else is angry at you, go and deal with it. Can imagine everyone just like, what just happened? Like, you're talking to one guy and now you're talking to me. What? I don't get it. See, in this passage, Jesus is showing a Jewish audience that God doesn't merely look at what someone is doing. He doesn't just look at someone and go, good, you're following my law. He values even more than that, that people would follow the intent behind his commands, right down to the very attitude of their heart. Time and time again in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible before Jesus comes, we see God talking to the people of Israel and saying, listen, you're doing all these sacrifices, but then you're not taking care of the poor. You're doing all these things here, but then your heart isn't in it and you don't care. And so I don't like this stuff. I don't care if you're doing the sacrifices if this is the person you are on the inside. What he does is he begins to dial into human relationships and how important the healthy ones are, to the point where he says, listen, if you're serving God, so if you're out there, you're going to church and you're singing that worship song and you got your hands in the air, or you're volunteering in a ministry, or you're on your knees praying, or you're doing your devotions and reading your Bible, whatever good thing you're doing, whatever act of worship or service before God you're doing, if you realize that someone is angry with you, that you've hurt someone, that you've caused someone pain, put it down. Go and leave the building and make it right. Deal with it. I mean, can you imagine that? You're sitting there worshiping and you're like, man, that guy was angry at me. I just realized I need to apologize. And can you just imagine like people starting to leave church because got to go make this right? It'd be kind of weird. But this is what... what Jesus is saying is to seek to restore the relationship. See, to put it basically, broken human relationships hinder our relationship with God. He doesn't want your prayers. He doesn't want your service or your Bible reading if your heart is all out of whack. If your heart looks at it and goes, I've offended someone, but that's their problem, not mine. If your heart doesn't have love. Now I think this is just huge, right? This is huge. If you've wronged someone in some way, it's not just the responsibility doesn't just lay on the person that got hurt, but Jesus says it lays on the person who did the hurting as well to go and make things right. Like, man. What are we supposed to do about this? I mean, you got to wonder how many people are out there that are angry with me right now. Do I have to go to every single one of these people and start apologizing to them? Do I need to like just sit down in prayer for an hour and let God just start to list in my heart all the people that I need to go and reconcile with? Like, how does this even work? The fact of the matter is, the other person may not even realize that you've done something wrong. But you still need to ask for forgiveness, whether forgiveness from God or from the person, depending on the situation. We can't just leave it out there. What I see here is that Jesus is basically saying, listen, whether you are the injured party or you are the offending party, you need to deal with this stuff and find peace. You can't just let it sit out there. You can't just let human relationships, remember, we're made in the image of God. We're called brothers and sisters. We're called the body of Christ, and all the parts need to work together. And he's like, if there's a breakdown somewhere, you need to go and deal with it. When you're sick, there's a breakdown in the body. And if you just continue to try to push yourself, what ends up happening? You don't heal. You continue to be sick. What does the doctor tell you when you've got the flu or something like that? He says, drink lots of fluids and what? Get some rest. And so if we keep on just trying to go forward without pausing in what we're doing to try to let healing occur, then how is healing going to occur? We just let brokenness continue. But I can think right now of the chorus of excuses that are going through some of our minds, right? Sure, I did that, but do you know what they did to me before? You know? They can't possibly be mad about that. I mean, sure, I called them that name, but they just need to be a man. What if the person that's angry at me won't talk to me? How am I supposed to deal with that if they won't talk to me, or if I've apologized and they just looked at me and wouldn't accept the apology, or what if I actually didn't do anything? What if they're upset, but it's like, what are you talking about? I didn't do that. I didn't have any malicious thoughts towards you or anything. What's going on? I don't get it. Now, I understand that here today, whether you're online or here in this room, there may be some people that you're here because there's a hurt or a pain in your life, and you heard that Jesus or that church can be good for that. And I'm so glad that you're here, but I also want to acknowledge that as you're hearing stuff like this, you're probably like, you know, this Jesus guy's got some nice ideas, but I don't like this one. I think I'm out. Like, wait, so I have to go and ask for forgiveness? Do you know how long that list is? Or maybe you're new to Christian faith and you're beginning to realize that, yes, Jesus, with his death on the cross, he's covered over our sin, all that debt that we owe God. But you're beginning to realize that Jesus wants to effect a huge change in your life. And that based on what the culture tells us, what you've been raised in, it seems just impossible. Maybe it even seems ridiculous. And you're thinking, what did I get myself into? You've experienced Jesus, you've seen him at work in your life and the life of others, but you're still sitting there like, I don't know that I can do this. Listen, I get that it's not easy, but the great thing is we don't go through this alone. And when we mess up, that Jesus is there, he's just, come on, let me get you back up. Let me help you along. And you know, God has given us some powerful principles that we can put to practice. He's given them to us in the Bible. It's a collection of writings that the Holy Spirit of God has inspired over so many years and so many authors. And over the course of Christian history, he has given men and women of God great wisdom in reflecting upon these principles so that they can begin to help us deal with these issues. And so as we go into this and we see, how can God help me here? Because he's got some high expectations, and so what exactly is he saying that I need to do? what I'm going to encourage you to do is to take notes, and maybe you're a pen and paper kind of person, and I'm sure that you brought one with you if you're like that. And if you're not, if you're a digital person, you can go to ascc.life on your mobile device, tap on the message notes tile there, and follow along with what we're going to be talking about, take your own notes and all of that. And so I encourage you to do that now. But I think it's important as we talk about prayer and God's expectations on us and God's love for us that we start by praying. So will you join me just in a quick word of prayer here? Heavenly Father, I thank you that no matter what has gone on in our lives, no matter how many times that we've failed to do what you've called us into, that as we come before you with hearts that say, God, I'm so sorry and I want to move forward into your will, that you are there forgiving us, picking us up again, and giving us the strength to continue forward. And Lord, today I ask that you will give us clarity of mind, that you will give us openness in our hearts, Jesus, and that you'll help us to wrestle through these ideas today as we close our series on forgiveness. Jesus, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the first things that we have to tackle as we look at the issue of asking for forgiveness is this: how do you even know if you need to ask for forgiveness? How do you even know if you've hurt somebody? How do you find out? Well, I've got a few ways that we find out. The first one is the easiest. It's the most obvious. You know that you did something, that it was wrong, that you hurt someone. And so now you know that you need to ask for forgiveness. That one's pretty obvious, right? If you punch someone in the nose because you were in a bad mood and they got in the way of the wall, you did something wrong, you should probably say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. So that one's a simple one. Here's the second one. We don't like this one, but they've confronted you with it. That one can be pretty tough, right? Someone comes to you and they're like, you've done this. And man, this is the way that it made me feel. And do you understand how wrong that was? How much that hurts? And it's right for them to do that. Matthew 18, Jesus tells us how we're to bring our difficulties, our challenges to someone when they sin against us. He says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. So what we're told here is that it's perfectly right and acceptable for someone who has an injury against us to follow this process to say, I'm hurt. And to confront us with the thing that's done. Or you did this thing that runs counter to Scripture and confront us with this thing that's been done. And then there's the third one. And this one here, you're only going to have this happen if you're actually spending time in God's presence. And that is that the Spirit of God brings conviction into your heart. This is when you're sitting there and you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden some random thing in here hits you in the gut and you go, ooh, ha, I think I need to do something about that. Or it's when you're sitting there in prayer and or you're journaling or you're listening for God and meditating on Scripture, whatever it may be. And I like to sit with my journal and just ask God questions and just listen for what he wants to say to me. And sometimes when he does that, he's like, listen, this thing happened and you need to deal with that. And this one here can be difficult. The Spirit doesn't always let it go. And when he gives you something like this, if you start to ignore it, you may find that he kind of seems a little more distant. I gave you something. What are you doing with it? The Spirit brings conviction into your heart. That's one of the ways that you can know. And it's important that when he does this, that you try not to become defensive. That you try not to ignore it, right? If there's conviction in your heart, if you know that you've done something wrong, you can't be like, well, they deserved it. It's not a very Christian way to think. So consider when you're faced with these things, have you truly done something? Have you truly done something against this other person? Done something wrong? And if there's a way that you can deal with this, make it right, then it's time to do so. We don't sit there like, well, it might go away if I just wait long enough. No. Get on it. Deal with it. Jesus obviously cares about this stuff. He says, if you're at the altar serving God, giving your gift to God, and you remember that somebody has something against you, drop it there and go and deal with it. That doesn't say, yeah, go ahead and just take your time. That says, fix it. How on earth do you deal with this stuff when you know you've got the problem? Sometimes it feels bigger than us, right? You know, if I apologize for this, man, it's not going to feel good. Or you go, how do I even go to the person seeking forgiveness? They're just going to think that I'm a horrible person, or they're going to have mean words for me. So I think the first thing that we need to do is get right with God. Give your sin to God. So if you know that you've done something, then go to God with your sin or with the situation that you're in. If there's confusion there, if you're not sure what to do, go to God. If you don't think that you've done anything, that you have a role in what has happened, go to God and be like, God, will you just show me, do I have a role in this? Did I play a role? Did I do something? Or is this just them? And then don't let yourself, no, it was just them. Listen. Truly listen and let God challenge you. Give your sin to God. Should always be our first step, going to God. Too often our first step is, oh, there's a problem, I'm going to run in and fix it. And I'll speak from experience here. It's a dumb way to do things. Gets you in a lot of trouble. Go to God with the situation. Second thing, if it's appropriate, apologize. If it's appropriate, apologize. Now, sometimes it's not appropriate to apologize. Sometimes it's something just to assuage your guilt. Assuage means just like letting it rest. Okay? So sometimes it's just to make yourself feel good. You know, the other person didn't really realize that anything was wrong. Maybe it's like you thought something mean about the other person and you're like, oh, now I've offended them. So I'm going to go ask their forgiveness and tell them that I thought this mean thing about them and ask their forgiveness for it and say I'm sorry, because that's going to make me feel better. In the meantime, they now think that you're an idiot. So sometimes, you know, we don't apologize to the person because it's selfish. You know, they're not truly hurt by you at all, and making them aware of your personal sin is going to bring them hurt. But you also need to know this. I'm not talking about things that people deserve to know. For example, if you're in a marriage relationship and you had an affair, listen, you've hurt your spouse, and even if your spouse doesn't know about your affair, then guess what you need to do? You need to go and own up to it. Oh, but it's just going to hurt them. It's going to make them mad. You've already hurt your spouse if you've engaged in this kind of conduct. You've already caused injury to them, whether they know it or not. And you are continuing to damage your relationship if you keep it quiet. And so this is the kind of situation where, no, you do go to them and you say, I need to confess something to you. I'm so sorry. And I'll take whatever consequences you decide to mete out. But I want you to know that I want this to work. But if you don't think that you can come to that place, then I understand. We have to bring these things into light and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes it's also not appropriate to apologize. For example, if you're like, I haven't actually done anything, I've sought God, I've sought wise counsel, I haven't sinned against this person. How am I supposed to apologize? Listen, there's sometimes that we feel like we're pigeonholed into apologizing for things that we know we had no role in, where if we were to apologize, we'll be lying. I mean, have you ever heard, you ask a kid who did something to apologize to someone else, and they're like, I'm sorry that me hitting you made you feel bad. No, you're supposed to apologize for hitting them. I'm not sorry about hitting them, but I'm sorry it made you feel bad. Right? You've seen that before. This is kind of like, I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm sorry that you're so sensitive. Have you ever been apologized like that before? Like somebody just comes up to you and they're like, listen, I know that you're mad at me. It's all your fault, but I'm sorry that you feel that way. It doesn't go over well. What have you done? You've caused a further rift in the relationship is what you've done. Sometimes, if you've determined that you haven't done anything, maybe a clarifying conversation with somebody in mediation, maybe what needs to happen. Maybe you need to go and just say, listen, I don't actually feel like I've done anything here. Can you share with me how you're feeling and what it is that you feel like I've done? Can we give some background to this? Like, what's going on? Thirdly, sometimes asking forgiveness requires restitution. It requires us making things right or giving back. There was a tax collector in Jesus' day, a wee little man, as the song goes. His name was Zacchaeus, and tax collectors in Jesus' day, they were renowned for getting ahead in life by saying, hey, come and pay your taxes. No, your tax isn't that. Your tax is triple that, and then they'd pay the little bit to the Roman government, and then they would take the rest for themselves, and that's how they got rich. And so they were generally looked down upon by people. Zacchaeus was literally looked down on. He was short, if you didn't get that. And he was literally looked down on people. One day he hears that this guy Jesus is coming into town and he wants to be able to see him, but there's crowds everywhere and he can't see over people. And so he finds a sycamore tree and climbs up in the sycamore tree. And to his delight, as Jesus is going along in the crowd, Jesus actually comes towards the sycamore tree. And then all of a sudden, Zacchaeus' heart skips a beat when Jesus stops and looks up at him and says, Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? He knows my name. What? Come on down. I'm eating at your house tonight. So they come to Zacchaeus' house, and people are like, what is Jesus doing? This guy's horrible. This guy's corrupt. This guy's evil. Do you know how much money I'd have if this guy hadn't done what he'd done? And as Jesus is sitting there in Zacchaeus's house, Zacchaeus has a change of heart. And we read in Luke 19, 8 to 10, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Listen, if you stole something, or you wrecked something, part of your apology, your seeking forgiveness, is probably restitution, paying it back, making it right. And frankly, sometimes it comes back down to prayer. Sometimes that's all you can do, is bring the situation to God in prayer. I mean, realistically, prayer should be the first thing that you do anyways. We talked about that. Prayer is your first line of defense. It's not your last line of defense. Prayer is the first place that you go because we receive our strength and our power and our courage and our wisdom through God. But listen, if you're trying your best to mend fences and your friend or your colleague, they refuse to let it go or they won't answer your calls, what are you supposed to do? Pray. When the only way to mend the relationship seems to be you completely surrendering to the other person's point of view, even though you completely disagree with it, or to give up another friendship because, you know, you have another best friend, and so you need to give up that other best friend, otherwise I'm going to continue to be an injured party. These are things that sometimes you just need to just sit down and go, God, this is you. It's all yours, God. This is beyond me. All you can do in these situations is to bring your worries to God in prayer. Pray for your friend's happiness, recovery, and needs day by day. Because friends, you never know what happens when you genuinely seek God in these situations. We sang a song, Unstoppable God. He's unstoppable. And the unstoppable God of the universe, who created everything that we know and experience and everything behind it, he's a God for whom our prayers can initiate an action beyond our wildest imaginings. Let me close with a story from a man named Reverend Ray Dirksen. Shares that within a year of him becoming a Christian, the Holy Spirit began to bring back memories of his life as a teenager before he'd been following Jesus. And what he realized was that he had actually been stealing from his boss. And he was like, well, that's great. It was so long ago, God. And he tried to put it out of his mind, but then he'd go back the next day to go and do his devotions before God. And the only thing hitting him in the face was just, no, you were stealing from your boss when you were a teen. It's like, God, can we just let this go? This was a long time ago. And he just kept on trying and trying to move forward in his relationship with God. But time and time again, God just kept on coming back. No, when you were a teenager, you stole from your boss and you need to make it right. So finally, Ray spoke to his wife about the issue, and they decided that they would write his employer a letter explaining what had happened, apologizing for it, asking for forgiveness, and in that letter, he included money to pay for the goods that he had stolen. So about a week goes by, and they receive a letter in the mail from his employer. And they open it up, and the employer forgave Ray for stealing all those years ago. But to his surprise, the letter continued on, and the employer began to confess that he had actually held back some of the money that Ray was owed on his final paycheck when he was leaving because he didn't like him. And so he asked for forgiveness from Ray for the situation. And even more to their surprise, he included in the envelope the pay that Ray should have gotten when he left his job. And even more significant is it ended up being almost the same amount that Ray had just finished sending his employer. Turned out that they'd been cheating each other and holding on to this for so long. From that day forward, his conscience was clear, and he was suddenly able to resume his relationship with Jesus again and move forward into the next thing. So, you know, all of us who follow Jesus, we may be convinced that we're called by God to reach the people he puts around us. We're looking here at our church, and we're saying we want to introduce Jesus to Pincher Creek. We want to get to know him better ourselves. But listen, if we're nursing broken relationships, or should I say not nursing the broken relationships in our lives, if we're allowing them to linger and to fester without doing what we can to bring a resolution, does it actually mean anything for us to want to bring people to Jesus? Let me put it this way. How effective will we be in showing 600 or hopefully more people in Pincher Creek the love of Jesus and bringing people to know Jesus by the end of 2020, as is our vision here, as is our goal here that we're all striving towards, if we cannot even practice love for those that we already know, for those that already serve Jesus? If we look at them and we're just like, I'm not apologizing for that, they deserved it, or we look at them and we say, nah, I'm good, they can be like that, doesn't matter. How effective are we going to be in reaching our community with the love of Jesus if we don't show the love of Jesus to the people already amongst us? You might think that this is still pretty crazy, and in a moment here, we're going to move into a time of communion. You might be thinking to yourself, fixing these relationships is going to cost a lot. It's going to hurt a lot. Why would I do that? But you know, fixing relationships, broken relationships, is exactly what Jesus does for us. It's what he did for us. We had a broken relationship with our Creator. And God came to earth in the person of his Son, Jesus. And on that cross, he took on himself everything that had ripped apart that relationship we were meant to have with God. And he said, if you'll just put your trust in me and you'll begin to follow me, I'm going to begin to put the pieces back together, and I'm going to be the bridge that connects you back to the heart of God. If he does that for us, don't you think that maybe if he's calling us to do it for others, that it's time to go and do it for others? So today, what I hope for all of you is that you don't sit and hope that the hurt will go away, but that you go and you deal with it today. Don't sit and hope that the hurt is going to go away. Go and deal with it today. Maybe you already have started that process. Maybe it's stalling out. Well, go to God in prayer. Maybe you need to take that first step. What's keeping you from doing it? Maybe the first step in mending a relationship that's broken is coming to Jesus.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.